Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline de Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listener, welcome to episode number 80 of Blissin' Up. Do I have a treat for you today? This podcast is going to be a little different than anything we've ever done before. I decided to host my very first podcast with a live audience last week. It was recorded and we are uploading it for you today. It's going to be with me and my dear friend, Nikki Novo, guided intuitive. You can find her at NikkiNovo.com or at Nikki Novo on Instagram. She talks about living with intuition. And she is one of my best friends. I love her with all my heart. So it was a very exciting experience for me to be able to interview her and talk about the dance between living with intention and being guided by intuition. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. Brace yourself because there is gold in here. And I hope you like it. See you next week. Bye. Hi, Nikki. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Caro. I can't believe we're here with a live audience.
This is our very first time ever doing this in front of a live audience. So thank you guys for being here. For those of you that are listening on YouTube or on the actual podcast, we have a beautiful community here with us in the sacred space on this sacred Sunday. So it's a beautiful time for us to be together. And we just enjoyed fika. So if you don't know what fika is, it is a Swedish tradition where we have tea and a treat and we have time for a connection. But I knew that my best friend was going to be in town this weekend, and I wanted to host a fika, not only for my community, but also for you, and have this opportunity for us to connect for the very first time on the podcast. So welcome.
And I'm so happy to be here. I almost missed it because I thought it was supposed to happen yesterday.
Yeah. So yesterday, Nikki texts me and says, hey, what do you say? If they were like, they moved my thing to 2:45 and I'm going to try to make it. And then you asked me about something else that we were going to do tonight. And I'm like, Nikki, it's tomorrow. And she had booked her flight back to North Carolina on Sunday. And I was like, wait, are we canceling this thing? And she's like, no, I'm just going to change my flight. Never mind me. So that's how we started this.
But that's like Nikki in a nutshell.
Yeah. So another fun fact that nobody knows about this is today, my podcast aired this morning, and I announced, because it's November 2nd, I announced the theme for November. And the theme for November, for anybody who hasn't heard it yet, is N squared, which stands for now and next. We are going to be spending the month of November savoring and experiencing gratitude for what is now, how far we've come, and also preparing for what is next, preparing for that quantum leap. But funny enough, when I'm having coffee with Nikki and I said, oh, the theme for the month is N squared, her response was, oh yeah, Nikki Novo.
I'm like, they've been calling me N square since I was a kid.
And then I was like, it cannot be. It cannot be that you're N squared. She's like, no, Caro, they call me N squared. I had no idea that anybody ever called you N squared.
It was like just like a moment in time. It didn't really stick, but you know, it was there.
But it happened.
Yes, it happened.
And of all themes to have thought about for November, to have thought N squared and then have this interview scheduled for today, and the podcast was released this morning. This episode will air next week, but that episode released this morning felt very synchronistic.
Caro loves synchronicities, guys. I don't know if you guys know that, but it's like one of her like most magical personality traits is that like everything is magical and special with these synchronicities. So you have to like, you got to get in the vibe. If you're not in the vibe, you're going to be like, that was like not a funny story, Kato. But then once you're in the vibe, you're like, yes, it's magic.
It is magic. It is magic. So I felt that it was very synchronistic that N squared is here on N squared day. I mean, I can't make it up. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But N squared is also really important because as I was thinking about the content of this episode, what I really wanted to get out for our audience was the dance between intention and intuition. You know, Nikki, you are a spiritual guru to a lot of people. You're quite the intuitive, and you have dedicated your life to helping people live with intuition. And I am dedicating my life to helping people live with intention. And I've always thought we dance in between that rhythm. And when I was thinking about now and next, I was thinking now is living with intention. Intention is about who you are now. How are you going to show up now? What choices are you making now? And what's next is all about intuition, because it's that little voice inside of you that's helping you move to your next chapter of your life. So do you want to talk a little bit about the next of intuition?
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was so perfect about the N square and like how these things come together. Intuition is, you know, for me, I always think that you place your intention. You're like, okay, this is what I'm hoping to get out of this, or this is what I'm hoping this moment is. And then you need your intuition to see what are the next steps or like what that intention, if not, you're going to miss like what that intention is trying to bring you to. Like even with the podcast episodes, or even when I do like group readings or whatever, I always ask people to set their intention before, and somehow it comes to them, but they need their intuition to be able to see like what that intention really means to them.
So yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that when we talk. It's so funny when we're talking in our language, we'll be talking about certain things and Nikki will be using her intuitive language. And like, she was like, I was called to do this, or I was doing that. And then I'll be like, well, but what's the intention? You know, what are you setting the intention? And just this morning, we had this beautiful conversation about what the next 2 months are going to look like for you and the intentions that we were setting. And you said to me something that I thought was beautiful that everybody should hear. You said, well, people think that just because I'm intuitive, I live in the future, but actually what gets me to the next level is that I'm always so grounded in my intention.
Yeah, because I think that you'll miss what the future is trying to tell you if you're not here actually in this moment. And also like this moment is what's creating the future at the end of the day. So if we're not living grounded and if we're not living with intention and kind of building what's next, you're just never going to have what you want next anyways. Like it's happening right here. It's like happening in this moment.
And you said something about time, which I thought was really special. We talked a little bit before we got here because we were having coffee this morning at like 1 o'clock. We've been chatting for hours. I'm like, Nikki, we have to go get dressed. We have a thing that we have to do today. She's like, oh. So you talked about, and I thought it was beautiful, that intuition and what's next, like leaping into the future, is not necessarily about time. Tell us a little bit about that. It's about expansion, not time.
Yeah. So to me, when you're thinking about the future, you have a goal, or it's a bit of like a North Star. And the reason like thinking about the future or bringing it forward is important is that it expands what's possible for you. So where Kato, funny enough, when I first met Kato, I felt like she was like a little too grounded. Like I almost felt that she, and it was like one of my issues with you. I was like, no, but like, what about next year? And what about 2 years? Like, you know, you have to like expand into the vision and what is next. And you like didn't like to look into the future for some reason.
I did not.
Yeah. And where I get the opposite, I have got clients that are like, tell me when I'm getting married and like, when is my baby coming and all these things. I was like, whoa, what's happening today? Like, what have you done today? So there's always that balance. But my feeling is that you have to kind of peek into the future and peek into like your vision to be able to understand what is needed of you right now. So
I like even the podcast episodes I do a lot of like reading the energy of things. And the only reason I bring that forward is because what you want, and like, don't ask me about the future if you're not tending to your present. That's what's hard for me. Like, future is not set in stone. I think a lot of people kind of mistake that. There are a few things that I'm like, oh, this is destined. This is going to happen. But a lot of it is what I am doing in this moment that connects to that North Star that I have. So it's like, oh, I would really love for this to happen, or I would really like to see this happen. And I don't mean from a goal-oriented way, because you can't, like a lot of times you may want something in the future and you're in the present and you're like, I have no idea how to get there. Like I feel like if you know how to get there, your North Star is kind of boring. Like, I'm like, you should be a little confused about how you're going to get there, because the journey is meant to be full of miracles and magical. And it's really more of you're shifting into a new future rather than walking your way to a new future. So that shift like comes from, okay, this is the North Star. Like, this is the future that I want. But then I have to come into my present and be like, okay, how do I create that shift within me? Because your body, your vessel, your being is like this light that will go towards the North Stars that you give it. But, and you attract it, like you attract your future. Like, all those things are happening because you're bringing them into you. But it has so much to do with who you're identifying with as at the moment. And a shift is really an identity shift. It's like, okay, I see myself as a little girl. So I keep attracting this life for a little girl. And one day I'm like, you know what? No, I don't know if you've heard Gato talk about like stepping into queen energy. So what she does is she's going to shift her identity into queen energy. And then all of a sudden her future has to match that eventually. So when people come and ask about the future, like we can definitely see the future from what you're projecting right now. And if it's what you want, amazing. But if it's not what you want, which is like why it's nice to peek into the future, then we have to see like what needs to shift in this moment, or how do I shift my being? Not what do I need to do, or what are all the, you know, the to-do list things and all that. It's like, how do I shift into a new energy to match that future that I want?
So I think it's important to go back to when you said that I was so grounded. It used to piss you off that I was so grounded.
Why were you so grounded?
And it's a really important question, because I worked really hard to get to the life that I had. And mm-hmm. I felt like I had built a life that I really loved and enjoyed. And I think for a long time, I was afraid that wanting more or looking into the future would undo what I had worked so hard to attain in that moment. So especially when my kids were little, you know, I was raised amongst divorced parents. You know, between my parents, there'd been 9 divorces. And I always longed to have a family and my kids. And then all of a sudden I had these little kids and I had my family. And I almost felt guilty. Like, how dare you want something bigger or more? I remember I used to talk to my dear friend Betsy, who's a great friend of both of ours, and she's here. And I used to tell her, like, I love exactly where I am, and I have to figure out how do I get to a place where I could be content where I am and want more. And I thought for a long time it was either or. Like, you couldn't, you know, and also because the future felt like uncertain. What if you want something bigger and you're tricking yourself, and the bigger thing that you get is actually not as good as what you have right now? So do you want to speak to the people that, because it's easy to look into the future when you don't like your present life. But what about when you like your present life?
No, I had that same experience. When we moved from Miami to Western North Carolina, and I'm living in this house and on all this land, and my husband's healthy and my kids are healthy, same thing. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. This is more than enough. And I actually I train a lot of students to do readings and to be intuitive. And they always like give me my medicine back, which is really annoying. It's like, wow, I created these like
monsters,
these monsters that are coming after me. And one of them called me out at some moment. They were like, you know, that there's like more for you. And I was like, I felt the same way. I was like, well, I have everything I ever wanted. But I do know that because I spend so much time connecting to souls and thinking about souls and how you can live a soul-led life. I do know that the universe, the divine, is ever expanding. So therefore, we are ever expanding. And I think that when we reach a place where you know, yes, we're grateful for what we have, but we're afraid of what's next, we are going against divine order. You know, we're going against nature. And we're saying, we're trying to tell nature that, you know, we're not supposed to expand, but it is so natural to expand. So when you're not expanding, like you're actually going against what nature and the divine. So that's what I was like, that I almost felt, I remember when I met you, I was like, this is unnatural.
It's funny because she and I have this beautiful dynamic, this chemistry. First of all, they should know how we met, right?
Sure.
We met at a very luxurious place called Chuck E. Cheese. Our kids were in the same class together, and it is synchronistic, I will say. Several people had been telling me, oh, you should connect with Nikki Novo. She's doing a lot of the same work that you're doing. And I look up Nikki Novo on the internet, and Nikki Novo is doing dating work. And I'm thinking, I don't see how this is connected to what I'm doing. I'm a motivational, at the time, it's like, I'm a motivational speaker. Like, I don't know how that is connected to the dating work. Like, I just didn't see the connection. So I didn't pay much attention to it.
She was judging me, guys. Let's just be honest. She was like, why does that girl have what that? And she's just doing dating stuff.
I was like, I didn't see the connection. But anyway, so I didn't reach out. And then one random
I wouldn't
day,
have responded to you, Caro.
Well, you know, apparently we didn't need to respond to each other. We could have rejected it as much as we wanted to, because here we are. So one day we're at Chuck E. Cheese, and somebody, I was the treasurer of the PTO. So I was getting, I guess, the checks or whatever. And somebody says to me, oh, this is the check. And when I look at the check, they had given it to me. It was Nikki Novo. I'm like, Nikki Novo? But I knew her as Nikki Essig. She had been on the thing, but her check said Nikki Novo. So I'm doing the work, and I'm at Chuck E. Cheese, but I had just collected these checks. And this girl says to me, I said, Nikki Novo, who's Nikki Novo? And she said, that's that girl right there. And when I saw you, it's like, that's the dating girl. That's the girl from the, I saw that. I walk up to her and I'm like, are you Nikki Novo? And she's like, yes. And then you said that I have very intense.
She was
energy.
Just like, you know, I'm obviously a speaker and I do all this thing. And if you've done a reading with me, I do all the talking. But I'm definitely like reserved when you like meet me. And Caro just came with like her big energy and her dad's big energy, which her father passed away, and he just like haunts me. He's like always around us. And I was like, this woman who's talking to me, I'm trying to focus on her, but she has like a dead person next to her that's also talking to me.
It's not weird. It sounds weird.
Yeah. And after, I remember, I think like in that conversation, we established that you had a dead dad. And
I don't know if it was in that conversation, but later you told me, which totally freaked me out because I did not buy into it at all. I was like, no, you don't know that my dead dad is next to me.
Yeah. And he was like, he's got big energy.
He does have big energy.
Yeah. So I remember just like being overwhelmed by Caro showing up. And then our sons have been friends.
Yeah. And then, so then we are, of all the kids in the class, our sons connected immediately and they became best friends. And then my son kept asking me, will you have a play date? Will you have a play date? So I invite Nikki over one day for a play date, and you came. And I remember you cried when we.
Yeah.
You want to share that story?
Yeah. Yeah. Which one?
When you came over and you were sitting here with me and we were talking about our business, and you were like,
I block out those traumatic events.
I finally found. You don't remember that? You're like, I finally found of somebody from my soul pod.
Oh no, that meant something to you. Now I forgot. I'm like the bad boyfriend that forgot for anniversary. No, Caro has been instrumental to me. I remember one day we go for these walks, and the walks that I thought I was special, but then I realized she has a whole business built on taking people for walks.
Actually, that business was built actually because of you.
Benny used to call them walkie-talkies.
Walkie-talkies.
When we would go on our walks, he would call them walkie-talkies. But I remember complaining about my husband, as women do, and she was like, I think he's an addict. I was like, what? Yeah, you were like, I think he's an addict. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, absolutely not. And she was actually,
said it that way.
You did say it that way. It was like very like, oh, this is like, I think it's an addict. And I was like, oh, is this like a thing?
I said, have you paid attention? Like, have you noticed that maybe there's some addiction?
No, it was not like that, guys. But anyways, she was right. And she, I honestly think that, and Orlando talked to me about his journey, and poor Benny had no idea what was coming after that walk. I came home and I like ripped through everything, and she, they were both correct. And it, I just, it's just weird what God does. You know, I was like, I just don't think Benny would be sober today if we wouldn't like have walked together, and if Orlando wouldn't have talked to me. And I don't know why God does the things that, like, it's like, what have our souls been doing other lifetimes that we're here?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So,
so those were very important.
So we were brought together by this, by our children. Like it was, and I, and you told me this, and at the time I was very personal development, stoic, very rigid, not very into the whole woo-woo feminine, divine, the language and all that kind of stuff. Wasn't my thing. But you were very feminine and woo-woo and all, and intuitive and all that kind of stuff. And for a long time, you know, at the beginning of our friendship, we had so much to talk about. But what I was always so fascinated about was how similar we were and how aligned our beliefs were and the way that we lived our lives were. And I think it was a beautiful thing because what allowed me to expand and be able to move into the future was understanding a little bit about what intuition means, but grounding it in intention. Mm-hmm. Like no understanding what intention is.
Yeah, because the future could be scary if you don't have a clear intention. I think that's where people get confused about their intuition. So for example, like, you know, you're walking around, you're like, I'm going to look for a sign today. And it's like, no, you kind of have to give the universe a little bit of like a container of what kind of sign or what's it for. Like it's okay for you to direct just a little bit. But if you're kind of like, Jesus, take the wheel and like let anything happen, then that's where intention can get scary.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And I think intention actually comes from the soul. It's like, okay, soul, like what, you know, like what is it that is like coming up for me? And that you have a framework. What's the first step of the framework? Naming
it? Notice.
Notice. And I just don't think you could really like notice without having your intuition, right? Because notice can come from my brain. You know, I can be very like logical and cerebral. I'm like, well, I want it to be this. But I, and you can create, so you can create your reality from your programming, from your, you know, the cerebral, from the mind. But I'm very much like, let's start off first here, like from the soul, from that, you know, where some people call it the heart. But for me, it's, you know, it's your true self, your true soul self. And then you get that intention from there. And that's where the magic happens. Because I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys where you accidentally manifested something that like you don't even want. You're like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know I was that powerful. Like, how did I get here? Or sometimes, yeah, even for example, when I was in that place in my marriage, I was like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? You know, like it's very easy at that moment to be like, wow, I picked the wrong person, or I, you know, I made the wrong decision. And how did I end up here? And I think that, you know, a lot of the times it's not that you, it's not like something's like good or bad for you, right? That like either that husband was a right or wrong, but there were moments where I wasn't checking in, right? With my true self. And then I created this life by accident, and you want to recreate it. So I think that when you say, notice it, I think it's like to get that information from your soul first. And that to me, intuition simply is the voice of your soul. And I think you are mind, body, spirit. You have a soul in here, in this vessel. I feel like the body is your car and the brain is the engine. We really, really resonate with the brain. Like we often think that we are the brain. And I'm sure by now everybody in this audience has had that spiritual awakening. I'm like, oh, I'm not just my brain. And that's when you get into that cool information, which Gatto does so well about, you know, like reprogramming your mind and new perspectives. But that's secondary to the driver, who is the soul. Like the soul is telling the engine, you know, your soul is like really telling your engine what to reprogram and like what isn't, because any belief you've had has served you till now. And who's to say that the soul didn't give you that belief? But then we go into places of expansion. We're like, okay, this belief that I'm a good girl, that helped me so much, like all the way through 17. I'm so happy I had that programming. But now
I am like, you know, I'm expanding. I'm ready for something else. And the soul's like, hey, we're expanding. Good girl belief doesn't work anymore. It's not like good girl belief was ever bad. It's just that the soul is now needs more space within this body to be itself. So when those moments come up, it's really, I always say it's like just the soul wanting more space in this body to express itself. And that's why, I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but.
No, but you know, that's really important because you talked about the framework. And so the framework that I teach and I coach my clients on is notice, name, and nurture. Notice what is working and what is not working. Name your intention and then nurture that intention. What's fascinating about what you're saying is, so for me, my happiest place is in that cerebral brain, right? It's the reprogramming, it's stoicism, it's personal development, it's understanding that we have control over our choices. We can accept responsibility for our life and we can take action and execute a life that is different or in alignment with what we want, right? If we want to change it, we have the choice. And if we want to keep it, if we want to keep in the same direction, we also have that choice. So I come from that cerebral brain. But what's fascinating is that when you force yourself to go through that framework of noticing, you also have to notice what you feel. And what you said today at the coffee shop, if you remember, was I'm telling people to do something they're already doing. They just need to understand that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. That is the key. Everyone in this room and that's watching us on or listening to us is already using their intuition. What they haven't done is name it as intuition. They don't understand that it's their intuition. So when you are using the framework and you're noticing, you're not noticing just, you know, did I take out the trash? Did I go to the gym? Did I not go to the gym? You're noticing, what did I feel? How was the energy that I had this month? Why am I getting triggered? Why am I getting angry? Why am I feeling so joyful? What's working? What's not working? What do I have to let go of? What do I have to release? And what's fascinating is that when you give yourself the time to go through that process, the naming of the intention, the creating the theme starts coming to you almost as if it's not yours, as if it's been delivered. I have one of our clients who's actually here often says, you know, sometimes my monthly intentions, they name themselves. It's like the name picks me. The name picks me. That's intuition, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And it's living with intention, but it's the discipline of living with intention for me has been the thing that has expanded me the most to be able to recognize my intuition. Because it's even though I'm thinking about it in my brain, because before I used to be like, but Nikki, like, I don't know, I'm in my brain. I don't understand. What do you mean feeling into your heart? But discovering the art of living with intention is the thing that brought me into my intuition. And now because you've taught me so much about what it means and I have a name for it, I can identify it. Now I can trust it. So how do you impart on people that fervent trust in that voice, that calling that your soul is giving you?
Yeah, I mean, intuition, again, voice of the soul, and I think the reason we have such a problem with following our intuition and connecting with intuition is because we really want guarantees. We really want our intuition. You know, the most common question I get is, how do we know the difference between, you know, intuition or my mind or, you know, sometimes like what I'm scared of or the things that I want?
Which I had that question.
Yes.
Many times.
Yes.
I'm like, but explain it to me clearer. I need more information.
Yeah, because we're controlling and we grew up in a, you know, in this like very patriarchal society and linear, and we want guarantees. And that was actually, not to lie, like that is actually why I got into intuition work, because I was in my mid-20s and I was dating this guy. And I even remember the day I met him, I was always a very heart-led person. I never called it intuition, but I was living my life like following like my gut or my heart, whatever that was. And I remember meeting that guy at a party and like just being like, oh, I need to talk to this person. Like almost like God was telling me to go that way. And as I got to know this guy, I was like, oh, obviously like God told me to move towards this person because he's going to be the person I marry. Like that was the way that I, you know, understood it. You know, spoiler alert, a year and a half later, he breaks up with me out of nowhere. And I'm like in shock. And I'm not so much, I'm heartbroken, of course. But really what was damaging for me was I could no longer trust myself. I was like, wait, something, like I swear to God, like something guided me to this person. And then it broke, you know, this person breaks up with me. So that is so damaging for a person, right? Like you follow something that you, you know, really felt true to and it does not work out. And it's just like, what in the world? So that is what led me to my first psychic. I was raised Cuban Catholic. You know, my mom told me I was going to be struck by lightning if I went to a psychic or that I was joining some, I don't know, Santeria cult or something.
And my father would have said, that's magical thinking. Don't waste your time.
And you are the most magical thinking person I know. the spawn of the... So I go to the... Oh, man, I'm losing my train of thought. Sorry.
You were saying that you go to your first psychic.
Yeah. And why? Oh, I was talking about, okay. So I go to this first psychic and I was so impressed by what she did. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. She was just so good. And at the end of the session with her, I asked her this very strange question that like just came out of me. And I said, can I do what you do? And, you know, I was a fashion and beauty editor at this time. I mean, I had no interest. And she goes, everybody can do what I do, because I assumed that if you were born psychic or you could do mediumship, you must have been born that way. Like that was the way that I understood it. And she was so kind and being like, no, anybody can be intuitive. Anybody can. And she introduced me to some books. And that was really the beginning of the end. But I was interested. I thought it sounded cool. But the truth is I only wanted to study intuition because I never wanted to make a mistake again. Like I was like, I am only interested in this stuff, like angels, whatever. That's what the first thing I got into. Was so that I can meet the right person and like not get my heart broken, because I was so heartbroken by this. And I was so confused as to like why God would lead me somewhere and then take it away from me. So I, like most people that come my way, got into intuition for the wrong reasons, but it was what got me there. And then later, as I get more into intuition work, I realized that intuition doesn't offer any guarantees. And I think that that's where we get it wrong. Intuition is really this feeling, this sense. It could be a knowing, a hearing. There's many different ways that we receive it to what is the next step. And the reason for that, and how I got it wrong with that boyfriend was my soul was like, you need to be with this person. Like I was being pulled to that person, but then my mind or my ego added, because you're going to be with him forever, right? So like where I went wrong was I filled in the blanks. I said, because we're going to be together forever. And that is when people don't understand intuition, because all of us want to fill in the blank. We don't want just go towards this person, it's going to be a good time. Like we don't want that, right? We want like, no, because I mean, how many people come to me, right, and say, I want to start this business, but I'm only going to do it if I'm going to be successful, you know? And I get it. I get it. We don't want to put effort into things if, you know, if it's not going to work out. So
we know a little bit about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and she needed some coaching, and she was like, I don't want to do this thing because I don't want to get it wrong anymore. So I just don't want to make a mistake. And I said, well, it's kind of like saying, well, I don't want to date somebody and go through 6 months of dating with that person, because what if I find out he's not the one? I'm like, well, then just commit to being single. Like commit to not getting this thing. Oh, but I want that thing.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, going back to unnatural, right? The reason why you can't make these like crazy solid predictions from intuition is because what we said in the beginning, the universe is ever expanding, right? Nature is ever expanding. So things are shifting and changing in real time. The best way I can explain it is like, you know, when let's say you're going to take a long car ride from here, we're in Miami, we're going to drive to North Carolina. I think it's like 14 hours a drive or something. And maybe right now it might tell me 14 hours, but as 3 hours in, it might start to tell me 15 hours. And because there's an accident that happened and there's these shifts that happen in the moment. So that's the same way when you're thinking about prediction, like you just can't always predict because the world is ever evolving. So what intuition is doing is, and also the soul part of you is a much higher perspective. And kind of the same way that we don't tell our kids like every single detail, we're just like, just trust me, like, please just trust me. We don't give them all the information because they can't handle all the information. So all we're saying at first is like, the intuition is just like, let's go here. Let's go to this moment. And that's the soul, the divine part of you trying to tell you where to go next. And it's going to give you little, you know, chunks and pieces, but it's not always going to give you all this guarantee. And that's where we start to mix like our mind and that ego part of us. And we kind of get in the way of the intuition, if that makes sense. So we kind of dilute it or even like in talk, you know, like get it dirty. So it is a lot of practice. And I think intention is a great way to just kind of ground and like stay there, right? Like to stay connected. And then that's where intuition really starts to take off. And then ultimately, because you're learning to just follow what you're being called to and you're rewarded by what you're being called to, you do it more. Yesterday, I was hired to speak at an event, and that's why I flew down here this weekend. And I had asked Caro to take time out of her busy schedule and to coach me on writing a speech for this event. And Caro has learned that she says that basically that I try to learn rules only to break them.
But I encourage her to be herself.
Because that's what my intuition does.
That's right.
And, you know, Caro took time and we mapped out this speech that I was going to do. And I was like, okay, I'm so excited. Like, I know all the rules of speaking because that's what her background. And I wake up yesterday, the morning of the event at 6 a.m. And I'm like, nope, it's not it. I can't do it. This is not the talk. I can't do this talk. This is not what I'm supposed to do. And instead, I was like, I have to do what I typically do on my podcast, which I deliver messages, which is so scary for me because I can deliver messages to people that I know are going to accept me because it's my community. And I've been speaking to my community and my people for so long. But to go to a women's conference that was about money, I talked after two financial advisors and they're like, now that girl, Nikki. And and I was like, oh my God, you have such a good sense of humor for putting me here. But once I was there and delivering the messages, right? Like all I knew was that I had to go on that stage and do the thing that I did in my podcast. There was no guarantees. I didn't get a guarantee that it was going to work, that it was going to be good, that it was going to bring me money, that it was going to bring me fame. Like I did not get any of those guarantees. I just knew that that was what I was meant to do. And I made a decision a long time ago that I was going to live according to my soul because I'm always rewarded when I'm there and I leave space for the mystery of wherever it is taking me, right? So I've learned that, and then just the intuition just gets so much better when you're open to the mystery.
You know that you have just sparked a memory in me that I had forgotten and a story that I had not connected until right now to this very moment. Do you remember in 2019 when I had that?
Probably not.
Of course you're going to remember this. When I had that life-threatening pneumonia.
Oh my God, yes.
You remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, we were new friends at that time, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in 2019, I had just written a book. And I'd written a book. I'd published it, Looking Over the Edge. I was very excited about my book. And just a couple of weeks after I published that book, I got this life-threatening pneumonia. I ended up in the hospital on Christmas Day. I almost died. It was really bad. And I was there for 7 days from Christmas Day until New Year's Eve. It was the scariest time. We had these three little boys. My pneumonia was so bad that when they saw my scan, they thought I might have a tumor in my lung. And so they came to my husband and were like, this looks really bad, right? So it was like a really bad time. And in that, when I had that pneumonia, it stopped me in my tracks because I did not recover for about 6 months that I wasn't really myself. I mean, I was a runner. I was I was very active. I was very fit. There was a lot of rumors that I was the first person who had COVID in Miami.
We were really trying to prove that.
Everybody was trying to prove that I had COVID. And I was so sick, but it required that I was home just existing. And at that time, I was at a crossroads with my business, with what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be. I was just like, I was kind of like torn. And I called you. I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to do that. Like, will you do that reading for me then? If the thing you do for everybody else.
You guys, my audience is like dying to get readings with me, but somehow my friends do not respect. And God was like, that thing you do. I'm like, oh, that thing I do.
Yeah. Like people like have a waiting list. She's like, I have 500 people on my waiting list. And I'm like, maybe on Tuesday, if you want, we can do it.
It's like, yeah, it's got
it. It was so bad. So I'm like, okay, fine. Just do that reading for me. Like, just do it. But I did not know if I was going to like believe the whole reading situation because I was like, I don't know. I love you, but I don't know. I was very.
And we were newer friends still.
And we were newer friends. Mm-hmm. But in that reading, you said to me, you know, Caro, the guides are very upset with you. And I was like, the guides are upset with me. Why, Nikki? And you said, because you are using your children as an excuse not to do the work you're meant to do in this world. And that hurt.
I had to say hard things sometimes. Yeah.
It was
but
very
only
hard.
The strong can take it.
Right. And mm-hmm. I was like, what do you, and then you said, the guides want you to be in more of a hurry than what you are. And you're taking too much time. You are meant to do big work. And you're basically diddly-daddling. And you said, the word that keeps coming to me, and I just made this connection right now, the word that keeps coming to me is game time. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You said, it's game time. Game time is the word that keeps coming to me. I don't know why, but your guides are saying it's game time. And then you gave a charm. You created a charm that said game time, and you mailed it to me. And I put that charm on a bracelet. And that was the first time that I wore a bracelet that said the word game time on it. And every day from that point forward, every morning I would wake up and I would look at that and I would say, it's game time. What can I do today? What can I do today to obey? Because I'm an obedient person. I'm going to obey that it's time that I'm supposed to do something. And I developed CORE at that time. I created a community. That community ended up serving over 350 women. It ended up us doing, I mean, it's created my whole life. My whole business was based on that. And I just noticed right now that you noticed for me what was not working. You named it for me. And I chose to nurture that intention. And here we are today. As a result of it, with helping hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people live with intention. And it started with game time. And I just didn't even remember until this podcast to this moment.
So happy I made that bracelet. I didn't remember, but God was such a good friend. And sometimes like I'm not into the details. I'm like, yes, pass, Nikki. You did a good job. That was a good friend. She said obey. And obedient to something, but not to maybe what God always likes me to be obedient to. But obey is a very important word because it's this concept of obeying your soul, like obeying the divine within you. A lot of us obey God or Jesus, but it's all one, right? It's all connected within us. And I think that's when intuition really takes off because you clicked in, like, what I do in the readings and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring you to click into your soul. Like, this is you, God, with all the things. And, you know, we have our limitations as a human. And then this is your soul. And I'm trying to blend the two. And in that moment, it's just that you felt your soul. You heard it. You know, you had an experience with it and you decided to obey, not me, but but obey the soul.
100%. In that moment, I knew you were called. That calling me out felt true.
Yeah.
And I knew it. I knew you were right.
Exactly. And I think if you guys have ever tried to stick to a habit or do a new thing and you're like, oh, it's not working out for me, and you really want to try to obey it, it's not you. It could very much be that you're trying to obey somebody else's programming, somebody else's technique, somebody else's blueprint. And instead, when you really have that moment with your soul and you get the message from the soul, it is easier to obey it. It might be scary. You might be scared often and all those kind of things. But that's like, I always say, like, people that are like, oh, I don't stick to anything, or I haven't followed through on anything. And I'm like, perhaps it's not you. Perhaps that where that information is coming from, like what you think you need to do, even if it sounds so heart-led and all these kind of things, it might not be coming from your soul self. But when you really have that moment of like, okay, yeah, and you find something within you that is worth obeying, you will follow through.
Yeah. Well, and you often talk about being brave mm-hmm. and having courage. So when you know that something has clicked in your soul, when you know that that is where living with intention is so important, because you have to be brave enough to nurture that path, even if you don't know what's on the other side.
Exactly.
That's hard.
And after a while, when you're brave and you follow your soul, you're rewarded so many times that you...
Because you start to see all the synchronicities, Nikki, which we come back to, N squared. You see the synchronicities.
Yes. Yes.
Will you admit to them that it does change your life?
Yes. Yes. It's, well, I think I am like moving so quickly often, but Garo, her synchronicity, I think, is like more about like celebrating. You're like, well, let's celebrate this little moment. I'm like, no, let's go on to the next thing.
No, I always have to bring her back. That's where the grounding is, right? That's where the coaching comes in. I have a framework that I call DARE, and we'll end on this because we're going to take some questions, but I have a framework that I call DARE, and DARE's desire, dream, right? What is your desire or your dream? Take aligned action towards that desire, that dream. Release what does not serve you. And then enjoy the magic and the synchronicities,
yes.
The rewards that you've talked about that, so yeah. many times, that remind you you're on path. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've had to teach you.
Yeah, that's been very helpful to celebrate.
And to enjoy. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are going to take some questions from the audience. We'll take a little tiny break.
Okay. Yeah.
So we can.
If anybody wants
does
to get
anybody
up
and... have any questions? If you wrote them down on a piece of paper, and then we will wrap it up. How do you discern ego versus intuition?
So it definitely takes some practice. There's a few things that you can look out for. I always say that intuition will not scream over the other voices that are coming through to you. So sometimes maybe you hear your mom's voice, maybe you hear your partner's voice, or you hear the anxious voice within you. Like all these, ego to me are really all these voices that are just trying to protect us. And then intuition is really scary to the ego and to the protectors, because intuition makes you leave your job, leave your husband, you know, do all these weird things, you
not
know,
necessarily. That,
no, I did. Neither of us had to leave our husbands, but, or, you know, or stay. Mine was actually, I wanted to leave my husband, and my intuition was like, you're staying with your husband. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go even deeper. So, you know, and that's the funny thing too. I think a lot of people think intuition is rainbows and butterflies, or it is the easier path,
or it's burning the boats.
Yeah. Or if it's burning the boats. And I remember when I was having that hard time with my husband and realizing that, you know, we got this addiction in front of us, and I felt so betrayed and all these things. And I'm a big hearer. A lot of my intuition comes from, I can hear it. Most people feel, we've done a lot of surveys, and most people feel their intuition. I hear, I see also a little bit, but I was always afraid of seeing. So I don't like seeing a ton, but I hear a ton. And when I was going through that process, all I kept hearing was through sickness and through health. Like that was all my intuition was saying. And I understood that the divine was trying to tell me that my husband was sick and that I'm not going to leave him. If he had cancer, I wasn't going to leave him. So what my impulse wanted to do in that moment was to leave. And some people think their impulse is their intuition. And that's where it gets really messy. But honestly, leaving him would have been the easier thing. And actually the harder thing was to stay. Where some people, it's the reverse. I work with people that the harder thing is to leave, you know, and that's where that they're going to get the most expansion. So typically intuition is the soul trying to get the most expansion in that moment? Like, where are we really going to get the most bang for our buck? And it's typically like where the soul is taking it. So it's never black and white. That's why I love intuition. That's why I love energy work, because I learned that divorce is neither good nor bad. It is really what is the, where's the most expansion for the soul, right? And there's so many other things that I've seen in my practice that have taught me that. But I would say that there's a few things that are pretty typical of intuition. It doesn't yell. And it has a little bit of like a slower vibration. To me, anxiety or ego or those protectors can be like very sharp and loud and impulsive. And they just feel different. So you definitely have to kind of start to observe yourself. Like if you've ever followed your intuition before and you're like, oh, I knew that was my intuition, you can kind of feel into, okay, how did that feel? What was like that sense? And you can like work backwards for sure. I would definitely look out for space, because your intuition, especially if you haven't been following your intuition for a long time, you're going to need regular space, like, which that means getting out of your regular rhythms, right? Like we love to stay busy so that we don't hear ourselves, because when you actually slow down and hear yourself, it's going to take you somewhere that you're afraid to go to. So you keep yourself super busy, you know? So you need space for it. Feel into the rhythm of it. Now, intuition can tell you something scary, and it can also tell you great things. And that's the other thing that people are like, oh, well, I don't want it to tell me scary things, or is it only going to tell me great things? And it's like, no, it's like a wise part of you. So of course there's going to be some things that are hard to hear, like through sickness and through health. And then there's going to be some really exciting things like, oh my gosh, I see you on stages. Like it's happening. I see it, right? It's going to give you both messages. So you can't assume, you know, and put your projections on what it is. It is, again, it's looking for the greatest expansion, and it has like a wise feeling to it.
It's a great segue. And I want to ask this question because you're onto it. So how do you discern between the voice of the mind and that of intuition, which is pretty the same as ego, but the mind doesn't feel as much ego. The mind feels more like cerebral versus your...
Yeah. So energy flows. We have seven energy chakras. We have more than seven, but we have these main seven ones. And if anybody has studied Reiki or you've gone to a yoga or, you know, you've seen the centers. So our energy actually flows from down up. And I always think like, to me, my soul sits right here, like my, you know, in my heart center. The heart is definitely the middle of all these energy centers. And our energy is supposed to flow up and then out. So the mind is there to help us, obviously. Like the mind drives this bus. So we never want to say it's a bad thing. But it has to be like, okay, soul, like weird, you know, feeling, whatever. And then, okay, how can my mind support that? But sometimes what we do is mind, like, you know, all the to-do lists and the structures and da-da-da-da. And then we try to fit our soul into that structure that's already there. And that's where we get it wrong a little bit. So be careful with a ton of guarantees. Like when you're like, oh, I have, you know, all these guarantees, I would be a little skeptical of that, because the soul never really gives a ton of guarantees. And the guarantees may be coming from more of that mind kind of structure. And it's especially, I know a lot of us here have businesses. I think we see this a lot because, you know, in order to run your business, you have to be strategic, and there's a lot of strategy, and you need guarantees in a way when you're doing these you need to like know point A and point Z to be able to move forward. But you always, and it's okay to have that. Like if you do get guarantees, it's okay, but you need to be like, well, for now, this is kind of what I see. These are the steps I see. I'm open to mystery. Like soul, if you need me to move a little bit, let me know, but I'm going to move forward on these steps. Like I'm going to take these steps. Like this is what I know to do. And if I'm a little off, like just let it come. So as long as you are open to mystery and you're open to being a little bit derailed and things like that, it's okay to follow your mind that has like very step-by-step ways. That's okay. But it's when you think that you know more and that you think that you know exactly how it's going to work out and you know exactly like how it's all going to happen. That's when we've moved on to the mind and ego place.
And I'd also say something I see a lot in my clients is sometimes you connect to your soul and you have this knowing, and it's like you know it, And then 5 minutes later, your mind takes over.
Yeah.
And then your mind starts to tell you all the reasons why it's not going to work, why you're going to fail, why you have to be careful, why you're in trouble, why you're in danger. And then you want to ignore the soul because you're like, I can't afford the pain if my mind is right. So maybe I should just not do anything at all. I stay paralyzed.
Yeah. I mean, I think those moments are so important when those moments come and they hit you and you're, you know, you really had like an intuitive moment. And that's so typical that, of course, like after you take steps, you start freaking out. It's important to take yourself back to that moment, to remember that moment. And you really want the mind, you almost like want to give the mind something to do. You know, you have to be like, okay, mind, I know you're freaking out. I know you're a little scared. Like, we've never done this before. We've never let like the wild woman, the wild wise woman within you to take the lead. So we're definitely freaking out. But instead, I would like you to think of all the ways that this could work out. Like, that would be a better use of your gift, right? Like, the mind has a gift. It has a talent. It can figure things out. But let's give it something to do as opposed to letting it run wild. And when it shows you those things, it's just showing you what's holding you back. It's just showing you what you're up against. Like, it's like, you know, it that only comes up to show you these are the things you're up against. You're trying to move toward that thing that, you know, you just got that intuitive ping for. But before you go there, you have to see all your obstacles. So it's the mind just showing you like, these are all my programming. Like, this is why, these are all the reasons why I don't think it's possible. And we really have to be able to observe that and be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I see how that limitation has helped me so much throughout life. Now I'm trying to expand beyond that. And I need the mind's support to help me expand beyond that.
And I think that's where nurturing comes in, right? You go back to that intention that you've set and you nurture. What can I do now? What can I do now? What am I grateful for now? What is working now? How do I savor the now and prepare for the next? Mm-hmm. Like, get ready for the next. Okay, one more question and then we're done, everybody. So this one is currently transitioning from hardcore corporate person to holistic intuitive work. Any guidance?
What got you to where you are is not going to get you where you're going. You know, it's hard because you were that choice to take that, you know, to climb that corporate ladder was a great choice at the time. Those are our survival choices. We're really trying to make sure that we can survive and that, you know, we're going to be supported and all those things. But then we're in a place where we're really expanding and that we're not interested in just surviving anymore. We're really looking to love our lives, expand our lives. We're starting to realize that that's possible. And that is our role in the lineage. You know, obviously, survival was what our parents gave us, which we're also grateful for. Like, they established survival and the people before us established that. But we're in a place now where we get to go beyond that. Even talk of AI, everybody's like freaking out, but it's like, what if AI takes the things that like we don't want to do and we get to do more, right? So when you're leaving corporate to do your own thing, you do need to use a new part of yourself. You're going to have to use more of that feminine part. You're going to have to use more of your heart. And then which is so cool, is that you have a corporate background. So you'll be able to use the strategies and the things that you know, but you don't lead from there and you don't lead from trying to survive. Instead, if you're like, well, if it's true that I can create anything that I want, that I can make, you know, any sort of money that I want to make, then let's do it in a way that I want to. So definitely coming from a place where you're like, you're designing a fun environment for yourself rather than, you know, making a little bit more of what you just came from. So.
And I'll say to that you are always in training for something bigger. So where you came from, sometimes we look at the past and we look at the things we've done and we're like, if I had just studied marketing, I wouldn't be in this position, you know, or if I had just had parents who were, you know, into yoga, then I wouldn't have been in this position. Like, people get mad at the training that got them to where they were going. But actually, that is a gift to go to the next phase of your life. So if you're going from corporate or from anything, I mean, I went from lawyer to life coach, and being a lawyer required some skills and specific skills. And for a long time, I was like, man, you know, I should have, you know, for a little while, I was like, I should have just become a motivational speaker from the beginning. Like, I always had the ability to do it. Why didn't I go earlier? Why did I waste all this time becoming a lawyer? And then looking back, if I don't become a lawyer, I don't meet my husband. I started a real estate business because I was a lawyer. I learned how to ask really good questions because I was a lawyer. And I learned the skill that was most important to me, which was there is no black and white. There is always gray. And I can see the gray in an otherwise black and white situation like no one else. And I see it because I had a legal background. So what I would say to the person that's leaving corporate is there are gifts for you in that business. What led you there has been training you to be the kind of intuitive, holistic person now that somebody needs, that if you had been like that from the beginning, you would not be able to support the people you're going to support because you came from corporate. So what you have done up until now is a gift, and it is training you for a bigger version of yourself. And there's magic in all of it.
Yeah. And I just, I guess if you're asking like the business aspect of it as well, like how this business works, because I'm very proud of like doing the work that I do. And one of my proudest moments was when I, a couple of years ago, gave my dad my, your accounting gives you your taxes at the end of the year and it shows you how much you made. And I was like, I just like slipped it via text to my dad, like PDF. And he's like, are you making more money than doctors? I'm like, yes, I am. I'm the only non-doctor in my family. So it was like a big, like exciting moment for me. And so you have to know that like this work that we do, even like, I don't know why we think it's like strange. Like everybody that I work with now works with several health professionals, right? Like you have your functional medicine doctor, you have your regular doctor, you have your therapist. Like you're just part of that support team and that healing team. It's very needed. It's not that like strange. I work with super high performing. I work with my favorite are like my Wall Street guys and like my like that they're I'm like, man, I really should use my gifts to like do better with stocks and things like that, because like that's what it's super fun. So to just know like what really helped me expand my business was when I realized that, first of all, noticing my gift and nurturing the gift so that it would turn into a talent is what I always say. Is like, you have a natural gift. You got to turn that gift to a talent, which is like doing those reps, getting it better. And then valuing that talent, being, and really, Caro told me this based off like a coach that she likes to follow, that you have to be the first one to sell yourself on your offer, right? So I went through that just, you know, naturally, intuitively. I just remember having to tell myself like why the work that I was doing was valuable over and over again. And once you see that value, then you just grow the business around that. And it's so funny how we have like all this trust in these like corporate jobs that we come from, when just the same way that you're dreaming up your own business and dreaming up this new profession, there was somebody that dreamt that up with your corporate job many, many moons ago. Like somebody, like the only reason that corporate job seems so sturdy and trustworthy is because you and hundreds of other people that work with you have poured trust into that job. Like my team that supports me, I need the physical support, but what I need the most is their belief in me.
So
like
true.
I need them to believe that I'm going to pay them. I need them to believe that like I can do this. Like they, you know, I'm their leader, and there are days that I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, am I going to be able to blah, blah, blah. And it's like their belief is what made my business legit, you know? So just take your power out from how much belief you've put into that corporate job, and imagine if you would give that belief into your job and your new business, and know that there's going to be other people. That's always fun when people come along and they start to believe in you. It's been I bring so much joy seeing Caro surround herself with a team, which when I met her, she didn't have that. And that is what makes corporate jobs amazing. I did this reading. I have this client that works for Procter & Gamble in the corporate division. She has like a really important role. And when I was reading her, it was so fascinating because I was reading like the energy of like her job. And I was like, wow, this business that she's working with, you know, P&G, has all this stress because all these people believe in Procter & Gamble, and Procter & Gamble has to produce, especially like in the market. And I was like, there's like, I felt all the energy of all the people that were giving that company their belief. And that's why that company is Procter & Gamble. It's like, I mean, it's one of the biggest, you know, it produces so much for our economy. And we think they're powerful, but we are powerful. It's, we are the ones putting our belief into that. And that's how they became powerful.
It's so true.
Yeah. So it was like, it was so, that's why I love doing the work. I'm just a nosy person and I like to.
That could have led us into a whole other conversation, but we're going to cut it here because this has been special and beautiful. Thank you because you've always believed in me. And I thank you for that.
You've always believed in me?
Yeah. So thank you. So for today, I want you to remember what is your now and what is your next. And if you need to figure out what your N square is for November, just remember it's Nikki Noble.
No,
it's living with intention today, now, and trusting your intuition for what's next, which will always be bigger and more beautiful than you could have ever imagined, because life is made in the mysteries and in the miracles. Mm-hmm. So thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you, guys.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for being here. I am deeply, deeply grateful for this time to connect. If you're loving this podcast, I'd love if you could support me by subscribing, rating, and or leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews help us so, so much. And if you know of someone who could really use a voice like mine in their head, please share this with them and let them know how much you care about their bliss. Now, if you are feeling called to dig deeper and really work on elevating your mindset, wellness, and your relationships to create a healthier, happier, and more meaningful life, then I invite you to schedule a 60-minute complimentary consultation with me. Let's have a meaningful conversation and see if working together is in our future. You can find the link to the calendar of consults right there in my show notes, but you can also connect with me on my website, carolinedeposada.com, or just send me a DM on Instagram, at @carolinedeposada. Like my friend always says, the project is big and you're a part of it. So thanks for being here.